So this week, I was doing a little cleaning up in my room. We were having people over to our house for Thanksgiving, and so we were cleaning everything up. And in doing so, I found this in my room. And you probably have had several of these delivered to your house as well. This is from Target, and it is full of every kind of toy that you could possibly imagine. And as I was cleaning up, I began to flip through it, and I realized that its presence in my room was not an accident. That this, in fact, was a very strategic leave behind by some of the younger people that live in my house. And I knew that because as I flipped through it, I saw several things that were circled. Some were starred, some were highlighted. There were names written under some of these, like this Galaxy's Edge customizable droid R2-D2, I think it's a Star Wars thing. It has Chelsea's name written right under, not really Chelsea's name, right? But one of the younger names in our household is written right down here underneath this thing. And so I laughed as I'm cleaning up our house to host people for Thanksgiving, the holiday where we thank God for all of the things that he's given us. I find this thing that's basically a big list of all of the new things that we want to bring into our home. And I know that my house isn't unique in that, right? I'm sure that there's other people that have had conversations leading up to Christmas about the things that we want or the things that we desire. But my hope is this, and my prayer is that at some point over the past week on Thursday or some other point in this week that you sat down with your family, that you sat down with people that are close to you, and you spent time together with hearts of gratitude, truly thanking God for the good things in your life, thanking God for his provision, thanking God for his goodness, thanking God for all that we've got in our lives, even in a trying season, even in a difficult year, taking time to give thanks with grateful hearts. That's what Thanksgiving is all about, right? It's a good thing, it's a biblical thing, it's a right thing for us to have hearts of thanks and hearts of gratitude in every season towards God. And as we begin to shift our focus from Thanksgiving forward to Christmas, as we start decorating our house for Christmas, and many of you started long before you should have, and we know that, right? You know who you are, and we do too, because you posted about it on social media. But as we shift our focus, our hearts, our decorations, all of those things towards Christmas, there's a potential for there to be some conversations revolving around what we want, the things that we hope that we'll get. We may even leave clues for people to find about the stuff that we want. And here's the deal, right? I didn't ask for this to be sent to my house, right? Our culture has this major focus, this push on stuff, on getting stuff, on having stuff, the new stuff, the best stuff, the latest kind of stuff. And if we're not careful, we'll blow right past Thanksgiving and we'll lose that grateful heart that God has called us to have as we begin to long for and wish for stuff. New stuff, or maybe even the stuff that someone else has. This morning, we're going to wrap up our series on the Ten Commandments, and it's just fitting, this last commandment. If you've got your Bible, open Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. We'll find the 10th commandment right there, and it fits so great at the end of our time together at Thanksgiving as we begin to prepare our hearts towards Christmas, Exodus 20, 17. And as you're turning there, just a recap of the Ten Commandments. If you're new with us, if you haven't been with us for the entire series, the Ten Commandments is something that God gave to his people, that God gave to the children of Israel after they'd spent generations, 400 or so years in slavery in Egypt. God hears their cries. God delivers them from that slavery, and they leave Egypt, and they are led towards the promised land, the land that God had promised them, the land that God was blessing them with. He's leading them there, and on the way there, you can read all of this in the book of Exodus, but on the way there, God stops them, and God meets with them, and God gives them his law, and the Ten Commandments is a part of that, and God says, here, listen, if you'll just do this, these are things that will draw you close to me. If you live by them, you'll know me better, you'll know about me, you'll learn about me, you'll walk deeply and intimately in a love relationship with me, and things will be great for you as you enter into this land. And not only that, if you live by this, the amazing thing is that the other nations, the people that surround you, that will see you, they'll see how you live, and as they see how you live, they'll also see me. And the same thing holds true for us today. As we live by the Word of God, what God has given us, we'll walk deeply and closely and intimately with him, and as we do that, we're going to look different than the world around us. And people are going to see us. They're going to realize there's something different. And people are going to be pointed to the love and to the grace of God as we simply live by the Word of God day in and day out. Right? That's my hope. That's my prayer for us, is that we would live by the Word of God and point the Word around us to him as well. And as we wrap up this series with this final commandment, coming off Thanksgiving and leading towards Christmas, I think this 10th commandment is so timely and fitting for us. Hopefully by now you've got your Bible open to Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. The 10th commandment is this: you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The 10th commandment, very simply, is you shall not covet. And as we seek to understand that, we ask ourselves, what's it mean? And we need to start with sort of the central word or verb that we find in the passage there, and it's covet. In the literal translation of that Hebrew word, it means to desire or to take pleasure in. And so we need to understand that word and what God's calling us to do with that word for us to live out and obey this commandment. And to do that, we're going to zoom out just a little bit, and we're going to look at how this word is used in a few other places in the Bible as well. If you've still got your Bible open, flip back one book to the book of Genesis. And we're going to look at two verses here in the creation account with Adam and Eve, where we see that same word used in two very different ways. And that's going to help us zero in and focus on what God's called us to do. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says this: "And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." I think the verse is on the screen behind me, but that word pleasant right there, it means to desire. It means to take pleasure in. So here, the same word that's used in Exodus 20, verse 17 for covet is used to describe a good thing that God made for Adam and Eve, something that they should desire, something that they should take pleasure in, the trees in the garden that were good for food. God gave it to them as a good gift. And the only response that is a right and pure and true response is to enjoy the good gift of God with a heart of gratitude for it, right? So in this case, coveting, desiring, taking pleasure in something is a good thing. It's something that God had given to the two people that he created to be in relationship with him. And we can do the same thing. We can look out at creation and see so many good gifts that God has given us. And the right response for us would be to take pleasure in them, to delight in them, to enjoy them in the way that God has called us to do it. But if you turn one chapter forward to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see that word again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "So the woman," and this is Eve, we're talking about Adam and Eve here, "so the woman saw the tree that was good for food." This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the one tree in the garden that God said, stay away from. So you have everything. It's all yours to enjoy except this one thing. Right? So the woman saw the one thing that she wasn't supposed to have. She saw it was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was to be desired to make one wise. And she took hold of its fruit and she ate. She gave some to her husband as well, and he ate. Same word, right? To desire, to take pleasure in, to find delight in, to covet, right, to want for yourself. It's used in both cases. Eve here looks at the tree that God told her not to eat from, and she coveted the fruit that was on it. She desired it, and that desire led to her disobeying God, doing what God had called her not to do. And we know the consequence for Adam and Eve is they desired the wrong thing, and that desire led to action was separation from God, right? They were removed from the Garden of Eden. So as we look at these verses and the word that God uses in his word, we see that that word covet, to desire or to take pleasure in, can be both a positive thing and a negative thing. We see that we can covet or desire the good gifts and the good things that God has given us to enjoy. And as we chase after those things, God blesses that. And God encourages that. And God uses that to bless us as his children. But we also see it as a negative thing, where God has put up these guardrails to protect us, to say, hey, stay away from that. When we covet the wrong things or desire the wrong things and lead to action in that area, it leads to a very bad situation for us. Exodus 20:17 again. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Right, the commandment here says that our problem is not when we desire things, but when we desire the wrong things, or when we desire good things, the right things, in the wrong way. It doesn't say don't covet. It says don't covet what is not yours to covet. Adam and Eve showed us a pretty simple lesson here in Genesis of how desiring the wrong things leads to somewhere we'd never want to go. Right? Instead, for us as followers of Christ, as Christians, right, as children of God, we're to live our lives desiring what God does have for us, knowing that God is good for us and that He desires our absolute best. And the concept, I think, is simple for us to understand. God has good things that we should desire. Let's go after them. God has bad things that we should not desire. Let's not go after them. But it gets tougher when we try to walk it out, right? Because in our culture, coveting or wanting what we don't have or what others have, it's almost like it's expected. Right, I'm not even sure how much effort or time or money companies use to try to get us to want things that we can't afford, that we have no business going after. Listen, I'm positive because we talked about Target and toys and Christmas and wanting things. Our iPhones are listening to us. And as we get on social media this afternoon, there's going to be ads for all kinds of things that we have no business going after. Right, and social media is another thing. Right, it makes people want stuff. It makes people look into other people's lives and want the experiences, want the stuff, want the lives that they're living. And as people look at what others have and desire what others have, it makes them lose their grateful heart and eventually get dissatisfied with their own lives. Listen, it's a problem. It leads people to a bad place mentally, leads people to a bad place emotionally and spiritually. And it's a tempting thing for all of us. Listen, there's no age limit on this. Our kids will go to school and they'll come back from school and they'll have seen the things that other kids have and they'll come back and say, "Hey, Dad, why don't I have an iPhone yet?" And I'll look at them and say, "Because you're six, bro. You don't need an iPhone when you're six, right?" But they see that somebody else has it and they think that it's good. And because somebody else has it and it's good, they think that they need it. They begin to obsess about it, right? And it just changes as we get older, right? It's not just elementary school age kids, teenagers, the same way. Mom and Dad, that family went on this vacation over Thanksgiving. Why did we just stay home? Mom and Dad, this person got this car. This person gets to do this thing at this age, or this person has that curfew, or you can put any number of things on it. God, well, why don't I get that same thing? Why don't I get to enjoy the same deal? And we don't age out of that when we turn into adults, right? Think that a lot of times it's easy to look at someone else's life and just think from the outside looking in, and they have it so well. Things are going good for them. Things are smooth in their family. They have the house that I want. They drive the car that I would love to drive. They get to do things with their kids or their grandkids or their families that man, I've always wanted to do. I wish that I could do that as well. And they want things that they don't have. We want things that God has given to other people. And God tells us very clearly in this 10th commandment not to do that. Because God knows, even in the end, if we get the things that we want, that those things won't satisfy. Stuff won't satisfy. Experiences will never satisfy. The only thing that can satisfy us wholly and completely, the way that we were designed, is a relationship with God Himself. Listen, you've probably heard this phrase before, but we need to understand that desires that we have in our hearts that we feed, that we give attention to, are the ones that grow. The desires or the wants that we think about, that we dwell on, that we focus on, are the ones that eventually we begin to act on. And so if we dwell on what others have, if we think about the things that they've got, the things that we really want that they've got, that they're in our face, or if we think of those things or accomplishments or things like that will satisfy our souls, eventually our goals in life shift from loving God and glorifying God, and they become all about acquiring something new that we think we need. We probably all experienced that. The more we think on it, the more we dwell on it, the more it begins to grow in our hearts. So as we walk through this life, as we have desires, as we have needs, as we have wants, we've got to make sure that we're being led and driven by the right voices when it comes to those things. Think back to Genesis, to Adam and Eve. They're in the garden and they start off great listening to the voice of God. They saw all that God had created. They saw the things that God had given them to desire. They chased after those good things, and the result was them walking with God in paradise. The result was them being completely full and satisfied in the presence of God. But later, they listened to the wrong voice. They listened to the devil, to the enemy, to the voice, to the things of this world. And you know what he made them do? The enemy made Adam and Eve doubt the goodness of God. He made them think they needed something that God didn't provide. He made them think that they could not go on without having this one thing that God had told them not to have. And what did they do? They listened to the wrong voice. They coveted something that they shouldn't have. They desired something that God had told them to stay away from. And that desire gave birth to action. They pursued it. And in the end for them, it led them to a place of destruction. For us, looking at this commandment, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Don't covet the things that I haven't given you. A good question for us to ask ourselves is very simply, why do we want the things that we want? The desires that we have, the things that we circle, the things that we put on our list for our lives, why do we want those things? Is it because we're walking with God and we know that the things that we're going after are good things that are going to be good for us, that are going to be good for our relationship with God? Or is it because we see other people have it and we're listening to the culture and to the world around us? Exodus 20:17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or wife or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You and I, as followers of Christ, don't need to desire what other people have, right? God loves us as his children, and he delights in giving us what we need to experience joy in him. Know that God doesn't hold back from you. Know that God doesn't keep good gifts from you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says this, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to his children who ask him? James chapter 1, 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Listen, God made us. God designed us in his image. And designed in the image of God, you and I were designed and created to desire things, to delight in things, to want things in our life. For us, as we try to navigate this world according to what God's Word has called us to do, we've got to make sure that we desire the right things, that our hearts are set on the good things from God. And so the natural question is, how do we do that? How do we make sure that we don't walk through life circling the wrong things, pull off course, circling things that we think are going to make us happy, and all the while missing out on God's best, right? I think there's a few things for us. I'm going to suggest four things that'll help us desire the right things as we wrap up. And the first one is very, very simple. It's desire God above all. If you're taking notes and you want to live this out, the first thing that we can do is we can desire God above all. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was asked, hey, Jesus, what is the number one thing that we need to do as people living on earth in this life? And Jesus replied very simply, you need to love God with all you've got. Above everything else, above every desire, above every craving, above every relationship or every pursuit, to love God above all. Our strongest and our deepest desire as Christians, above every other thing, needs to be desiring God. I read a quote this week that stuck with me. I loved it. It said, what makes followers of Jesus happy and joy-filled is not that we have God's gifts, but that we have God. What makes followers of Jesus happy and joy-filled is not that we have God's gifts, but that we have God. Is that true this morning of you? Is that true in your hearts? Do you find more satisfaction in your relationship with God or the gifts that God can give? Listen, as we look through God's Word, as we read it cover to cover and think about God and our relationship with Him, it is so incredibly clear that God loves us in a way that we probably can't even wrap our minds around. That should lead us to desiring Him above all things. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that He's brought us into His family. Isaiah 43, we read that He created us for His glory and His glory alone. And Luke chapter 2, we're going to read that a lot, probably heading up into Christmas. We see that God sent a Savior that was born for all people, good news and great joy for the entire world. In 2 Corinthians 5, we see again that Jesus died for us in our place, taking our punishment so that we could experience the presence of God. In John chapter 17, Jesus has this prayer where you can see his heart shining through in his words for each and every one of us that would be called his children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that we are heirs along with Christ for all of the good things of God. And in Revelation chapter 3, we get this picture of heaven, this place that God has promised each and every person that would trust in Jesus as Savior. Listen, nothing on this earth, nothing that we could circle, nothing that we could put on a list, nothing that we could ever desire is capable of giving to us what God has already given us when He calls us His children. Our greatest desire should be for Him, right? And we've already said that the desires that we focus on are the ones that grow. And so as we come off Thanksgiving and look ahead to Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrating our Savior, let's make sure that we are doing everything that we can to desire Him, everything that we can to seek Him. Grow in your desire for God by spending time reading the Word of God. If you think, man, I don't know that God is my greatest desire, let me just say, spend time in His Word. Read about Him. Get to know Him. That's why He gave us this, is so that we could walk deeply and closely and intimately with Him. Spend time talking to family or friends about your relationship with God. That's going to grow your desire for Him as well. Spend time listening to music that honors Him. We can listen to so much worship music leading over to Christmas that will fill our hearts. Surround yourself with a church family. Do all of these things simply to increase and grow your desire for God. The second thing that we can do to live out this commandment is we can trust God to provide. We can simply trust that God is going to give us what He's told us He's going to give us. One of my favorite things to do as it gets cold outside with the kids is we like to go outside and we have this fire pit on our back porch and we build a fire in it. Most nights we say it's to cook s'mores, but I think it's because we just like to play with fire. And we'll do that on the back porch and we'll have some fun, and it gets a little hairy or dangerous sometimes, but we have fun out there doing it, and they love to cook s'mores over the fire. It's a good thing. And so a few weeks ago, we were getting all set up for the season. It's starting to get cold, and we're going to start cooking s'mores. And the kids, man, all day long, over and over, Dad, do you have this? Dad, do you have that? They're making sure that I haven't forgotten the things that they're going to need for their s'mores. And it was an all-day thing. And finally, I had to say, guys, stop. We've got it. Everything that you could possibly need tonight, I've got it handled. You don't need to worry about it anymore. Just trust me, and we're going to be okay. And as I read these verses this week, I was sort of convicted that there's times where I sort of do that same thing to our Heavenly Father, where I think, God, are you sure? God, do you have this covered? God, have you thought about? God, what about this? Or what about that? God, you might not be aware, but don't forget about this thing over here. And I bet that I'm probably not the only one that has those conversations with God, where we might go before God and think, God, I'm a little anxious about how my job is going to work out here at the end of this year. God, I don't know what my finances are going to look like. God, I don't know what the doctor's going to say when I go in. God, I don't know what my family is going to look like as we navigate this new season together. And we begin to want things that we think are going to fix it. We begin to want things instead of simply trusting God. As children of God, we can trust God to provide, that there's nothing that we'll ever need that He hasn't promised to give us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that we need for life and for godliness. Anything we need, God promises that He has already given us, or that He is going to bless us with as well. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 31, says, don't be anxious about anything, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, but your Heavenly Father knows you need them. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. We can trust God to provide all we'll ever need. Kevin DeYoung, when writing about this commandment, says, when we covet, we don't believe that God is big enough to help us or good enough to care. Our discontentment is an expression of how much more we think that God owes us. When we seek God first, we'll trust God to provide. And as God provides all that we need to walk through this life in a way that loves Him and brings Him glory, that takes us to our third thing. And our third response is very natural. It's very simple to help us keep from desiring the wrong things. And that's be grateful. Be grateful for the things that we have. As God meets our needs, as God provides, let's be grateful. Let's spend time thanking God for what we have and not thinking about or worrying about the things that we don't have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So make a list. Talk about the things that you're grateful for, not just over turkey one Thursday a year, right? Let this be a pattern of our lives, the things that we're thankful for. Cultivate gratitude in your hearts. Cultivate gratitude in your homes. Let it be something that you talk about with your family. Let it be something that you talk about with your kids over and over and over again, the things that we are thankful for, right? Think about the things that God has blessed you with. Don't compare your situation to someone else's. Comparison kills gratitude, right? Thank God for what he's given you. Thank him for the material things, of course, but think on a deeper level than that. Thank God for his love for you. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for all the promises that are in his word. Thank God for the hope and the future that we have with him forever in heaven. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for relationships he's blessed us with in our lives, right? Be grateful. And then finally, the last thing as we seek to live out God's word is just enjoy, right? Enjoy the right things. Enjoy the things that God has given us. Don't covet our neighbor's stuff. Don't covet the things that God has blessed them with. Rather, enjoy the things that God's blessed us with. If we look back to Genesis, we see that God gave people the world to enjoy. And so our response needs to be to enjoy it, to enjoy the good gifts of God, to enjoy the blessings of God, right? Don't overlook all that God has done for you by wanting the things that he's given to others. Enjoy his gifts, enjoy the relationships that he's given you, enjoy the material possessions, enjoy the skills, the talents, the abilities, enjoy the things that God has given you in a way that honors him. Don't walk through life wishing. Don't walk through life looking at what others have, circling and making a list of the things that you hope you get that might never come your way, wondering when you'll get that thing that someone else has. Instead, put this away, right, and spend your life with a heart of gratitude, enjoying the good gifts of God, thanking him for them. Would you pray with me? And just take a moment with your head bowed and your eyes closed and think about God's word today. And maybe take a moment to thank God. One of the many things that we can be thankful for is the word of God. And thank God for his word, just the blessing that it is to us, so that we could know him, so that we could be in a relationship with him. And in that moment of thanksgiving in your hearts, just begin to rattle off that list, thanking God for his gifts, thanking God for his promises, thanking God for his word and all of the things that he's given to us. And if you would say, as you're thanking God, that you fall into that trap of wanting what others have, just take this moment now to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for that. God, don't let me look at what others have. God, let me to be grateful for what you have given to me. As a child of God, let's be thankful for the good gifts of God. And this morning, if you would say, you know what? I've spent a lot of time searching. I have spent a lot of time looking for things that I just haven't been able to get. I keep accumulating things for myself, and nothing is satisfying, nothing is filling my heart, nothing is satisfying my soul. If this morning you would say maybe that I've been searching for something and never found it, maybe this morning you just need to take a minute to acknowledge that before God and say, God, I've been searching for happiness, for joy, for contentment, for peace, for whatever, for so long. And this morning I'm realizing that the only place I'm going to find that is you. If you'd say you don't know Jesus, if you're not a child of God, if you're not experiencing the good things that come from walking with Jesus this morning, I want to invite you, before you leave today, to place your faith and trust in Christ, to become a child of God, a follower of Jesus, and to walk through this world experiencing and knowing the blessings that come from being in a relationship with God. Just a second, we're going to sing a closing worship song. We're going to be able to respond through song to what God is doing in our hearts. Then we'll be dismissed. And as you head out on the left side of our worship center in the back, we've got a prayer room back there. We've got prayer partners that would love to pray with you. If you want to trust Christ this morning, head over there. They want to pray with you. If you've got something going on in your world right now and you just need someone to connect with, someone that is for you, someone that loves you, and you want to pray with them, step back there. They'd love to pray with you. God, you are good. God, you are the giver of all good gifts. And Lord, we thank you for them. God, I pray that we would live our lives desiring the good things that you've given us. And God, as we desire them, as we walk in the truth that you've given us, God, Lord, I pray that you would bless us in incredible ways that come from knowing you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Do you stand with us as we worship?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.